global displacement reached nearly 18 million people last year. That's almost the double the number of people in crisis registered by the UN Refugee Agency a decade ago. These are the numbers that were released by the UN High Commission on Refugees today in its Global Trends report. And to talk about it, I'm joined by Rima Jamus Imsaes. Rima, welcome to Radio Canada International and to this virtual studio.
Thank you, Levon. Happy to be with you.
Thank you very much for making the time for us. Rima, these are staggering numbers, almost 18 million people.
Indeed, they are. In fact, Levon, this report shows us that we have reached, unfortunately, a new record high, a milestone we hope never to reach, but it is the single most dramatic increase we've seen from one year to the next, and it is the highest number of people displaced globally since we started collecting these figures many years ago.
Now, there are some interesting things about this report, that the this number of people is not evenly spread out. It's actually, most of these people come just from a handful of countries.
That's absolutely right. And I'm glad you point that out, because the overwhelming majority of people who are displaced in the world either are displaced within their own countries, they seek some form of safety or protection within their own country in another location, or they cross a border of a nearby border and remain in a neighboring country. That overwhelming majority will never leave that area in the hopes of returning home. That's the overwhelming drive, is to return home, and the wish of most people is to return home. So they're staying close in neighboring countries. And it should also be said that the majority of countries hosting refugees are actually low to middle income countries, or what we would call here in Canada, developing countries. So countries who are already wrestling with some serious issues themselves and are now having to bear this additional responsibility to look after refugees in their borders as well.
There's some interesting numbers. For example, Turkey is the country that has the largest number of refugees right now.
Correct. As I said, in most instances, you will find that people have decided to stay within their region or sub-region and close to home in the hope that they can return. And Turkey has for many years now been hosting a large number of Syrian refugees within their borders.
Can you tell me about some of the other conflicts that have generated so many displacements? We've talked a bit about conflict, of course, but there are many others, unfortunately.
Indeed, and one of the ones that are very close to home here is Venezuela. Venezuela, unfortunately, now is following in the footsteps of Syria in terms of the number of displaced people rising dramatically. We are almost at the 5 million mark, but again, they are staying close to home in neighboring countries, the majority in Colombia. But what we have seen in the case of the Venezuela crisis and others is that COVID has now added a new layer. Now, this report doesn't show you the impacts of COVID because it covers 2019. But what we're seeing play out today is that large numbers of displaced people who are already wrestling with the challenges that come from being displaced are now having to contend with COVID as well. And thankfully, we have managed, because of some early mobilization and preparedness, we've managed to avert so far any major outbreak of cases in any of our camps. But what we're seeing is unfortunately a dramatic crisis in terms of livelihoods and deep poverty that has virtually appeared overnight, because most refugees and displaced people are relying on the informal economy. And with lockdowns, that means from one day to the next, their source of income vanished. And they don't have the kinds of safety nets or security that others have that would be used now to sustain themselves and their families in this very difficult time. So it's adding another layer of complexity, another layer of concern, and people who were largely self-sustaining up until this moment are now coming forward by the millions to ask for our help.
And what does this mean that you talked about the COVID, for example, that it's now affecting some of the biggest donors of humanitarian aid to the UN and other humanitarian agencies, you know, donors like US, Canada, Germany, all the big countries used to donate a lot and now are facing ballooning deficits because of the COVID-19. How fearful are you that this will impact your ability to get funds to care for these people?
Well, it's obviously a concern, but I should point out that this report does single out Canada as being a global leader in terms of refugee response and support. For the second year running, Canada is now the number one resettlement country globally. And in fact, early on in the pandemic, they came out as a strong supporter and answered the call, the UN call, for additional contributions to help respond to COVID and prepare for what may come. So we've seen Canada step up repeatedly and offer generous support, and we have every confidence that they will continue to do so, because Canada, like other countries around the world, recognize that investing in responses now and in stemming this pandemic, they are actually taking care of Canadians and securing Canadians by ensuring that this virus doesn't circle back and come again.
Now, one of the aspects of this crisis is also that it's affecting a lot of children. Can you talk about that part of it?
Absolutely. I'm glad you raised that as well, because something in the order of 40% of those almost 80 million that you cited at the top of the program are children. Those are people under the age of 18 who, even without the displacement, already face dire circumstances, but then have to contend with being in a place that is not their home, where they do not always have ready access to education, and are facing another level of challenges now, being displaced sometimes multiple times. But it's something that families are struggling with globally. And if we imagine now what this pandemic has done to us here in a country where we have everything we need and the ideal circumstances to fight it, just imagine what life must be like for a family of refugees with children who are now trying to deal with this situation. And lack of education or access to education is one of the important elements, but also basic health care, access to clean water, things needed to ensure that children thrive. They're all real and substantial threats now that they deal with on a daily basis.
What does this mean for the future of that generation?
Unfortunately, it doesn't signal a positive horizon for anyone. And we have, for several years now, have said, let's ensure that we don't leave anybody behind, and let's ensure that we don't have a lost generation of children. But unfortunately, as we see the perpetuation of conflict globally, as we see continued displacement, as we see now with COVID even deeper poverty, and unfortunately an inability to address the very fundamental political problems that are at the heart of this displacement, without that kind of action, I fear that we're only creating the conditions to ensure that these children are not able to rise up out of these situations and look forward to a better future. So dramatic action needs to be taken, and the international community needs to mobilize to ensure that these children and these families have a chance at a better life.
Can you talk a bit about the driving forces between this, what is causing so many people being displaced? It's not just war and conflict. There are other underlying causes underneath as well.
That's indeed true, but unfortunately, in the majority of the biggest displacement crises that we see around the world, it is very much a political conflict or persecution at the core of that displacement. So those are the ones where you really see persecution of a sort that basically propels a drive of people in search of safety and security for their families. And the majority of the situations we see now globally have a political problem at their root. But it's not limited to that, as you rightly point out. We have now the impacts of climate change and natural disasters that are hitting various parts of the world that also propel people to move. So as I said earlier, now with deep economic concerns and increased poverty around the world, we know that that will also push people to move and search for ways to protect their families. So these are a number of different things that are all creating the perfect conditions for continued displacement unless we have concerted action.
So how do you see a way out of this? What are some of the things that countries like Canada can do to help with this situation?
Well, it's a good question to ask, and especially the day after the results of the Security Council vote yesterday, where we saw that Canada was not successful in their bid for a seat on the Security Council. But we do know that there are other avenues, a multitude of platforms where Canada can really show its global leadership and has done for many years, and been a strong and influential voice. And we hope that going forward, in any number of fora, whether the General Assembly of the United Nations, the Economic and Social Council, various platforms that bring together international actors, that Canada will continue to assert a very strong and powerful voice on behalf of refugees and displaced people globally. And we have every confidence that as Canada has been a leader up until this point, that they will continue to do so.
So, no worries there that this unsuccessful bid for the Security Council seat will kind of dampen Canada's enthusiasm for, showing itself more active on the international stage?
I think quite the contrary. The messages coming now show that there is a resolve, a determination to ensure that Canada is able to do exactly those things that they set out to do and to continue to be champions for these causes. So we're hopeful.
Well, let's end on that hopeful note. Rima Jamusem says, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you, Levon.